Our scripture reading for this morning will come from the book of Romans, chapter 1, beginning with verse 16. Romans, chapter 1, beginning with verse 16, and I'll be reading from the New American Standard Bible. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because that which is known about God is evident within them. For God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, His eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. For even though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks. But they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. Therefore, God gave them over in their lusts of their own hearts to impurity, so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions. For their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. And in the same way also, the men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire toward one another, men with men, committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful, and although they know the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them. I'm sure you noticed that I went back and read some of last week's passages. I did that for contextual reasons. Are you useful? Hopefully no one has ever called you useless. In the Bible, we have a short letter written by Paul while he was in Rome as a prisoner to a friend of his named Philemon. And Philemon has a slave who has run away. That slave's name is Onesimus. He just happened to run to the Apostle Paul in Rome. And in the letter, through the course of it, Paul reveals that he is sending Philemon back his slave. An interesting side note is that Onesimus's name means to be useful or profitable. Paul writes these words in verses 10 and 12 of Philemon. I appeal to you for my child Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my imprisonment, who formerly was useless to you, but now is useful both to you and to me. I have sent him back to you in person. That is, sending my very heart. It seems as if when Onesimus came to Paul in Rome that he was able to reach him with the gospel, because he says, I have begotten him in my imprisonment. He's been born again. And now he is doing the right thing. As a slave, he is returning to you, his master, and living up to his name. As a runaway slave, he was useless, but now he will be profitable to you, or useful to you, once again. In this passage that we've just read, verse 28 uses that concept, if not the very word, for useless. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper. In the Greek, that word can be translated as reprobate, worthless, evil, debased, corrupt, and yes, useless. You may have noticed on the marquee and questioned why that's on the marquee. I have these words written. They're called the Ten Commandments, not the Ten Suggestions. Long ago, as Moses received the law in Exodus 20, God gave directives to his children. The first four have to do with their relationship with him, the last six with their relationship with one another. I want you to think again about what we've just read in Romans, about what happens to someone who has refused to acknowledge God and walk in righteousness. Is there a right and a wrong? Good and evil? Light and darkness? We all must accept that there is life and death. But is there eternity? Heaven? Hell? Is man really worse off for failing to acknowledge that there is a higher power to which he is called? A higher purpose? What Paul does here in these verses that we've read from the last half of Romans chapter 1 is to describe what happens when man rejects his master. He becomes a crackpot or a cracked pot. What good is a bucket if it's got a hole in it? When man refuses to acknowledge righteousness, and by the way, as we emphasized last week, the righteousness of God, as verse 17 says, is revealed through the gospel or in the gospel. When man refuses to acknowledge righteousness, what happens to him? He becomes useless, reprobate, worthless. He fails in all the areas in which God has created him for and intended him for. Paul says that God's made it evident to man that he exists. In verses 19 and 20, because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. Paul reveals that God in his wisdom has shown himself to man, has allowed man to come to know that he exists. Within him he sees evidences for that, and all around him. Man must acknowledge God. If he fails to, he's without excuse. God then reveals himself through his word, through his son, through his spirit, as righteousness, so that man not only comes to know that there is a God, but he has the opportunity to come to learn what God's will is for him. Does he have to? If he doesn't, he sets himself up to becoming useless, worthless, corrupt. A refusal to acknowledge God means that you live like, quote, you want to, every man for himself. The last part of the book of Judges describes that. And every man did what was right in his own eyes. And what did we have as a result? Total chaos. What Paul has described here in the last half of the first chapter of Romans is what happens when man fails to follow the Ten Commandments, to honor those things that God has established 1,500 years earlier as proper behavior, as righteousness. The first four, dealing with God. No other gods before me. Shall not make any graven image, no idols. You don't take the name of the Lord your God in vain. And you keep the Sabbath day holy. The last six, my relationship with my fellow man. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not lie. You shall not covet. Look again at what Paul has described that man becomes when he walks in unrighteousness. You'll find the violation of the Ten Commandments described there in the last half of Romans chapter 1. And it is not a pretty picture. You refuse to acknowledge God. You become worthless in His service, and you become one who is actually a suppressor, an enemy of righteousness and truth. Verse 18, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. The ungodliness of men is not what God ever intended for them to be. But even in the garden, Satan was present, wasn't he? And Satan desires, through lying, to deceive mankind. In John chapter 8, verse 44, Jesus describes Satan this way. You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning and has nothing to do with the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks according to his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Now, if you know someone is lying to you, you don't count on what they say, do you? No. You hold them in suspicion from the very start because they can't be trusted. Righteousness and unrighteousness. Right and wrong. Good and evil. Light and darkness. Life and death. It's quite the contrast, isn't it? But what we want to understand as we look at what Paul is saying here to the church at Rome, who live in a society that is committing all these acts of evil, is that Paul is showing them that God's call is a higher calling, and not simply because God is God and needs to be honored, which he does, but also because to walk as God would have you to do is best for your neighbor as well as for yourself. Jesus summed up the Ten Commandments with these words, Mark chapter 12, verses 29 through 31. Jesus answered, the foremost is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Jesus takes the ten and brings them, boils them down to two. Love God and love your fellow man. By honoring your father and your mother, by not committing murder or adultery or sexual sins, by not stealing, not lying, not coveting. The only one of the Ten Commandments that makes a bit of a transition is the Sabbath day becomes the first day of the week. But perceptually, it is still honoring God one day a week. But now we do it because of the resurrection of Christ on the first day of the week, the day that He rose from the dead. Satan would lie to us. Oh, that's not important. You don't really have to do what God says. You can't even prove to me that there is a God. Well, on the day of judgment, everyone will believe, won't they? Won't we? Or won't they? But it'll be too late then. Paul, in writing to Timothy, says in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12, that Satan is forever at work. I'm sorry, verses 1 and 2. Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith by giving heed to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons through the pretensions of liars whose consciences are seared. We know that it's not just prior to the time of Abraham when the flood came during the days of Noah that man was evil. It wasn't between the time of the flood and Abraham when man created the Tower of Babel that God said, it's not good. Man is not following me. I will send them away from one another by confusing their languages. We know that through the ages, man has rebelled against God. And even so it is today. I look and I read Romans chapter 1, the last half, and I see us as a nation. Look again at these words. Verse 24, therefore God gave them over to the lusts of their hearts to impurity, so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason God gave them over to degrading passions. For their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. And in the same way also the men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire toward one another, men with men committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. Oh, but we are much wiser now. Society has evolved. No. No. What sin is sin? You shall love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You cannot walk in unrighteousness and be sound. You become a useless servant to your master, and he is our master. We cannot worship the creature rather than the Creator. Those who do what is right are of God. John records for us in 1 John chapter 3, verses 8 and then verse 10. He who commits sin is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. Verse 10, by this it may be seen who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not do right is not of God, nor he who does not love his brother. A child of the devil or a child of God? Satan would deceive us and he would have us to believe that it's okay. It doesn't matter. Do what you want to do. Professing to be wise, verse 22 of Romans 1, they became fools. They became useless. So I must ask myself, am I God's child? Am I an instrument of righteousness? By the way that I live, is the gospel exonerated and promoted or suppressed? Well, that depends on how I live, whether I walk in righteousness. Is my life a hindrance to the truth? Is Satan rendering me useless to all that God has in mind, all the promise, all the potential? By my example, how I live, can I expect others to be influenced for Christ, to follow the truth? How many opportunities have I missed because I've not lived like I should, because I was weak and blind? Remember, Satan is a liar and a murderer and has been from the beginning. His only desire is to destroy. And he accomplishes what he wants when we fail to be obedient to God's will. He suppresses the truth. That servant knew enough, even though he fled from his master, to go to Paul. Paul had visited, evidently, in their home. And when he went to Paul, he listened to Paul. And Paul set him straight. Now, just think about it. Onesimus is a runaway slave. And yet, as he comes to know the Lord, Paul tells him, you've got responsibilities now in Christ. We may not agree with the culture of the time of slavery. We may see it in a whole different light today, but during the time, it was God's will for slaves to obey their masters, even those masters who were not good ones, who were abusive. And as Onesimus comes to know the Lord, he comes to know his responsibilities in the part of life that he lives. So must we. Are you a father? Are you a husband? Are you an employee, an employer? Are you a citizen? You have responsibilities under God. And we're going to see that as we get to Romans chapter 13, especially about citizenship. God expects us to live up to His commandments. Honor your father and your mother. You are not to murder. You are not to commit adultery. You are not to steal, lie, or to covet. No, you must treat your neighbor as you would be treated. What was it Jesus said? You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Mark chapter 12, verse 31. Will I allow Satan to render me useless because I refuse to walk in righteousness? For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. For as it is written, the righteous man shall walk by faith. I must not only learn the truth, I must obey it and live it faithfully, arming myself with the instruction that God has provided, as Paul says to the Ephesians in the last half of Ephesians 6, putting on the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, being girded with truth, with the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit, my feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Why a soldier? Why in armor? Because Satan, our enemy, is like a roaring lion, Peter says, roaming about seeking whom he may devour. I was told this week about a mountain lion along the Arkansas River, not far from Doug and Mary Beth, that killed a neighbor's fatted pig, about ready to take it to the butcher. Oh, but the butcher came to them. Satan is like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. I don't want to place my fate in his hands. And in the process of using me as his tool, Satan, he causes me by my actions and by my lack of walking in righteousness to be weak and blind and to fail to show the way to others, to be a light to my friends, to my neighbors, to my family, to my community. I must be one who returns to my master and become useful once again, no longer worthless, evil, corrupt, reprobate, debased, but instead honoring that which is right. For what can be known about God is evident to them, and they are without excuse. It's quite the picture Paul paints, isn't it? We're going to get into, in chapter 2, Lord willing, next week of Romans, how it is that God is the judge of all things. He is the determining factor. He is the authority. It's not up to man to be calling the shots, to be determining what's right and wrong. We must return back to the Word. After all, they're called the Ten Commandments, not the Ten Suggestions.